My guest at this time is Rob Henneke, General Counsel at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, where he also directs the Center for the American Future. Previously, he worked alongside former Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott and current Attorney General Ken Paxton. Mr. Paxton, along with 19 other state attorneys general, are filing suit to declare Obamacare unconstitutional. Their argument is that the Supreme Court upheld the individual mandate as a tax back in 2012, and now that the recent tax reform bill ended that tax, the law is unconstitutional. And Rob, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thank you for having me back.
Well, there's one bit of confusing reality here, it would appear, because one thing we heard a lot from the president and from Republicans is that the tax bill repealed the individual mandate. Digging into this, it appears that the bill didn't actually do that. It just repealed the tax on that. Can you clarify?
Sure. What the Tax Cut and Jobs Act did is it made the individual mandate a zero. So it zeroed it out, which is what they could do because the Supreme Court had declared the individual mandate a tax, but it didn't strike the language from the statute. And so part of the argument that the states have here is that because the individual mandate is set at zero, it is not performing the functions of a tax and therefore cannot still be construed by the Supreme Court constitutional under the taxing powers of Congress.
So if it's not, in effect, a tax anymore, and we go back to that 2012 decision, are you arguing that it essentially takes away the Roberts argument for keeping this in place and essentially goes back to the violation of the Commerce Clause as a reason for striking it down?
Well, it is ingenious. I mean, in some ways, this is the walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, is it a duck type argument that these 20 states that are led by Texas say that now that the individual mandate does not raise any revenue, then it cannot still be construed to be performing the taxing functions under the Constitution. You'll recall, Greg, that the Supreme Court back in the original Obamacare case already said that the Affordable Care Act was not a valid exercise of the Commerce Clause powers. But they saved the whole Obamacare framework when they said that the individual mandate was valid as a tax. And the whole crux of that regulatory scheme rests on the essential component of being able to compel Americans to purchase health insurance or pay this tax penalty. Now that that one card has been pulled out of the house of cards, the states argue that the entire regulatory scheme collapses.
A couple of follow-up questions on a specific case that happened in between then and now. There had been another case that went to the Supreme Court that argued that it was unconstitutional or at least not provided for in the law for federal subsidies to be provided, and it had to come from the states, and so the federal subsidies were unconstitutional. The argument from the supporters of Obamacare at the time was, well, you better be careful what you wish for, because if you don't have the federal subsidies, this thing's going to crater and it's going to be on the people trying to get rid of those subsidies. So what do you think the impact is going to be if, in fact, the Supreme Court eventually would get to the point where it says, look, just like you said, there is no tax in effect here anymore. Therefore, the Commerce Clause issue reigns supreme, and that makes it unconstitutional. What's the impact on our healthcare system, either immediately or long term, if, in fact, that is ruled?
Well, the healthcare system that we have is already crumbling here in America because of the failure to fully repeal the Affordable Care Act. But specifically, the Affordable Care Act regulatory scheme continues to crumble. And what you've seen over the past 8 years is that the judiciary has continued to slap Band-Aids on it as a way to keep it alive without requiring Congress to do its job, which is to come back and reconsider the bill. So, but what's unique in this situation is that in the King v. Burwell case, the Supreme Court interpreted the language of the Affordable Care Act to find another way to uphold the statute. But in this situation, it is the Supreme Court's own words in their NFIB Sebelius case where they point to the individual mandate as the key component in what made the Affordable Care Act constitutional. So using their own words against them, the states now argue that because this mandate does not raise revenue anymore, it cannot be a tax, it cannot be constitutional, and since the entire regulatory scheme rests on that, then the rest of the act cannot fulfill the purpose of Congress and should be struck down in its totality.
The decision in the King versus Burwell case was 6-3. The 2012 case was 5-4, leading some to believe, although I think you might have given a different interpretation there in the fact that they found some way to keep it constitutional, is that the Supreme Court is tired of dealing with this issue. Do you get that feeling, or do you think if they have to revisit their own language without the tax in there that they'll actually vote to declare this whole thing unconstitutional?
There's two things that I see that are really unique about this situation. One, it remains to be seen what position that this administration and the Department of Justice is going to take and if and how they're going to defend the law. You know, the president has been very critical of the Affordable Care Act. It's been a cornerstone of what he campaigned on. And we don't know, are they really going to disagree with the 20 states that have challenged the constitutionality of this law? Or do they agree with the argument presented by the states? I think that's a stay-tuned issue right there. The other thing with your point about the Supreme Court, sure, over several cycles, the Supreme Court has done backflips and pretzels to find a way to keep the statute alive. This may be the breaking point to where the Supreme Court, I think, correctly gets to the decision that the Affordable Care Act is broken, it's unconstitutional, and it should be Congress that sets policy under the Constitution and forces us back into the legislative branch to actually address the policymaking for the nation.
And this has just been filed in the federal district level, so we've got that level to go, plus an appeal, I assume, inevitably, no matter what happens there, and then ultimately the Supreme Court. So what type of timetable are we looking at here probably?
Well, I think the ball is in, again, as I said, it remains to be seen what position the federal government takes in responding to this lawsuit. But in the, you know, the interim, one of the things that the states say in their lawsuit is that they are asking for a court to enjoin the Affordable Care Act, to have a court order that would stop that law from continuing. And that's the ultimate relief that is sought in the lawsuit. But stay tuned. We may see those states come to court earlier and ask for a preliminary injunction to stop the Affordable Care Act while the lawsuit goes on. And if that happens, then that could be a decision that could move up through the court system much, much faster than the 3 or 4 years it takes a lawsuit to normally get through the trial court.
Absolutely fascinating development in this ongoing battle. Rob, thank you very much for being with us and helping us understand what's going on here so well.
Well, thank you so much. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
Rob Henneke, General Counsel at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, where he also directs the Center for the American Future. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.